Lifestyle Choice 10 Milligrams is the latest short story collection from Rosemary Jenkinson, an award-winning playwright and short story writer. Her work in both forms offers a distinctive slant on contemporary life in Northern Ireland, full of edge, surprise and dark humour. 12 such tales can be found in her new book, and Rosemary joins me now from Belfast. You got your timing absolutely right in terms of switching around between genres, Rosemary. You were the you were the writer in residence at the Lyric Theatre in Belfast in 2017. So that ended, and everywhere closes down, and you've got your book of short stories ready to go. How did you know this?
Predicted the coronavirus. I'm like Nostradamus. But, no, I mean, I've always had a foot in both camps, short stories and plays. And so it's really perfect, perfect timing, because, as I say, I don't know when theatre is going to come back at all. So I'm on the prose writing now. And this is a perfect time to be writing prose, because it's a quiet time of observing, really.
So it's good to be by yourself in your home, or certainly isolated with maybe a one or two close family members.
Definitely wouldn't say that at all. No, it's not good. I'm just putting a nice gloss on it.
Right. You're convincing
really,
yourself.
Yeah. Convincing myself, yeah.
Lifestyle Choice 10 Milligrams. It's the title story in the new collection. And I suppose you're really hitting it straight on the nose here. You're talking about prescription drugs and the potential misuse of them. Just tell us what's at the heart of the story, and the young woman who we meet, who becomes, you know, who becomes really almost, you could say, addicted to prescription drugs.
Yeah, really, it's because she can't bear her job. It's a mindless job in the examinations board, and so that's really why she escapes. But also she had a history of being on prescription drugs from back pain. So there is some sort of reason for sliding into it. A lot of people do it because they have pain, and then it just is a descent. So that was really the idea behind that story. But I would say that the title, Lifestyle Choice 10 Milligrams, I kind of chose it because I wanted it to sound like Trainspotting. You know, the big speech, choose life.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like a big metaphor for what we choose in life, and the whole thing about whether you choose alcohol, drugs, literature, that could be your drug, whatever it is, we're always looking for something to have like measured dose of, to make us feel better.
Am I right in thinking that I think it is within that story, Lifestyle Choice 10 Milligrams, that the title story of the new collection, where you talk about this idea that within Northern Ireland, there are certain prescription drugs that you can get absolutely free because of the troubles. They are considered that there's a kind of a post-traumatic stress disorder situation involved. Am I right in thinking? Am I mixing up two stories there?
No, that is the story. Yeah, there is that. I mean, it's kind of an irony thing about here. But I mean, it is true we have prescription drugs for anything. And I mean, obviously we've had lots more mental health issues in terms of the suicides and things. So I think that was right from the troubles. We were always given as many drugs really as we wanted. So yes, that's probably a contributory factor to some mental health problems now.
And in fact, the troubles do loom large over a number of stories. Bomb Dust, where we have a young man, Jake, really dealing with his grandfather's UVF past. Is it impossible for a writer in Northern Ireland to put the troubles to the one side? Are they such a huge shadow that they just have to be dealt with in almost every collection that you will write?
Well, it's a backdrop, really. I don't deal with the past. It's only how it informs the present that I'm interested in. But, I mean, I would say I was noticing, like, for 10 minutes either side of my house in East Belfast, I could see four murals of gunmen. So it's basically in the streets, in our faces. We're still reminded it's an Ed memoir of the Troubles. And also, another reason I kind of wrote this story of Bomb Dust is because I'm really interested in recording the past also before it goes and before those stories go. Because, I mean, I know I did in Man of the North, which is also about an ex-bomber. And it's like I really want to talk to these people before. You find with a lot of ex-bombers, obviously, they have shortened lifespans because of drug use and trauma. You know, so it is great to record fascinating stories of our time.
Is it difficult to get people who have been previously involved in the trouble? You say you want to talk to them, you want to make that record of the past. Is it difficult to get people in from those situations to speak to you?
Well, I certainly don't do a call out or anything. but they usually volunteer. It's usually, I think, you know, when you meet people in a bar and things and you're chatting and everything and it's all open and they know I'm a writer. So some of them actually come to me wanting to tell their stories. So that's fantastic if they do that. Yeah, brilliant.
I think it's important that I should point out, because the stories that we've spoken about there, that there certainly are dark themes involved, but there's a vein of humour that runs through almost everything in the book, I think it's safe to say. But it particularly struck me in the opening story in the book, Millennial Woman. Give us a little bit of the sense of, she's a writer, isn't there? Yeah, she's a writer as well. Is she a writer, the narrator here?
No,
it's a different story. Sorry, go ahead.
No,
ignore that question.
Not that I know, but you're probably conflating us
yeah,
both.
Possibly, yeah.
I actually haven't mentioned her job, so let's just say she's probably a somewhat drifter. Oh, no, she does. She has an office job at the very start.
Yes.
I do mention that, actually, yes. Thank God I almost doubted myself there. But, that's really about... Again, it's escaping the boring job into fantasy world of Greek lovers and, you know, that. So that's really, it expresses my experiences when I used to have those sort of jobs. I always wanted to escape.
And the other thing is, there's a bit of sex in Millennial Woman and kind of discussions around a condom and whether it has worked or not. But if we really want to get into the story that that deals with sexual activities, we have to go to which of the ones?
Men. I'm guessing.
Thank
it's
you.
Men.
It is men. It is exactly men. Is the story I want to talk about. Boy, you don't spare us any blushes in that story. How important was it for you to write explicitly the sex scenes that are spoken about, and how difficult was it to write them?
Oh, good question. Yeah, that's really based on Bukowski's Woman, which is very explicit about his experiences with females. So I wanted to do it to men, really the same thing, sort of objectify in that way and that cool outside view of them. And, I mean, I enjoy writing about sex because it is that forensic thing. When you really observe it, so much comes to you from that whole scenario, or it's just very psychological as well as physical.
I don't know if you heard the furore that there was down here around the explicit nature of the sex in Sally Rooney's Normal People and the television series around that. Have you had that kind of? You haven't. Have you watched it yet? No, you haven't. You couldn't watch it.
Oh, no. I only watched about 5 minutes of it. No. It's just I'm not really interested in TV drama. It kind of is too slow for me.
No, but what I'm wondering about in those terms is this idea about writing explicit sex. Have you ever had, you know, people saying to you, why do you need to go into that much detail? Is that necessary?
Oh, yeah. Some people squeam and squirm, or very squeamish and squirmy about it. But, you know, I think they're very uptight and prim and proper, and they don't understand the kind of depth and beauty and meaning that can be in the act. So I don't really care, because I think everyone is universally interested in it, even though they say they're not. So, but I mean, it's part of life. It's a huge part. It's our animal selves, and we can't
without it. There is no life. Let's be honest. One final question, if I could, Rosemary. In the second story in the book, Butterflies, Canon D, which deals with a daughter around the death of her mother from cancer, and I know your own mother did die from cancer in 2017, I think it was. There's one line, mum's advice to, and this character is a writer, and the mum's advice to the writer is, write free like a bird. Were you given that advice?
Totally from the horse's mouth. Yeah, that was my mother. That story is so close to all of those beautiful things that she always said, and to keep busy with writing, you know, to get over her death. And I really did. So, She kind of, yeah, free as a bird and don't care what anyone says. That's what she says. So that's freed me. So I can write about sex, as she said, as you see. So, yeah.
Well, listen, what lovely advice that was to get. And the story is a beautiful story and deeply moving, particularly that one caught me off guard, I must say, Butterfly Cannon and D. One of the stories in Lifestyle Choice 10 Milligrams by Rosemary Jenkinson. And the book is published by Dira Press.